This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Hump day it is. Oh, geez. All right, y'all. Thank you for the love, though, y'all are giving me on my IG. I posted a little bit of a thirst trap on my IG today. Literally owned it. Just like a little photo of me flexing, and I was like, yep, just going to sexualize myself. So thanks for all the love y'all are giving me. Oh, it's been one of those days, but guess what? We're going to get through it together. Question nights up on our Love on IG page, as per usual. Tonight's question is, what are your thoughts on friends with problematic politics? Got a lot of thoughts on that one. I'm actually going to tell you a little story about a date I went on. It's about problematic politics. I got a lot of good ones around that. God bless. Also, later in the show, we got Jared Hill joining us because it's Wednesday. And we're going to talk about chemistry compatibility, but we're also going to be talking about the Ellen George Bush scandal. Why? Because there's a lot of meat in that one, and there's a lot for us to talk about and learn from that. Also doing some celeb rehab, but right now let's talk about some stuff. So there's a show called Dancing on Ice. This is a BBC series, and they're going to make history with the first same-sex pair dancing. Y'all, why it took this long, I do not know, because same-sex people dance together. I don't know why it's taken this long to just acknowledge what is. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, whether you like it or not, gay people exist. Same-sex people dance together. Putting it on TV is nothing more than just recognizing what actually is going on. So there was a debate about some other show called Strictly Come Dancing, and they weren't sure if they were going to allow same-sex pairings to compete. Let's not watch that show. How about let's not support homophobic programming? Because again, leaving something out or debating the value of something, as is going on right now at the Supreme Court and whether or not you can get fired for being gay or trans, that's nothing more than homophobia. Like, really, you're going to debate someone's rights as a human being? So Strictly Come Dancing, not sure they're going to allow same-sex people. That's cool. Let's not watch that show. But Dancing on Ice is gonna. But it took them this long. God bless. God, I can't believe that that's even something that they're proud of, that they're the first in history. Really? Like, where were you 10 years ago? All right. Kelly Kyoko?
Kyoko.
From The Big Bang Theory. Never seen the show, seen her face, though. She's making news because she's pulling a Gwyneth Paltrow. Her and her husband don't live together. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow made some news for the whole apart while together, which is, you know, a little bit of a new thing for some people. And it just falls under the category that normal is not the goal. And just because something's traditional or standard doesn't mean that's the right thing for everyone or actually even the healthiest move. And more couples are saying, let's not live together. We can spend a lot of time together, but let's not live together. Why? Because it can be actually better for our relationship to not be battling over small things and also some alone time. You know, I'm not mad at it. So another couple coming out, doing some diverse creative things, you know, relationally, I think it's great. It's what I do in my office with couples. It's really a matter of what do you 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 need? Not meeting all the benchmarks of that the culture tells you need to be a legit couple. Not everyone's going to get married. Not every relationship is two people. Not every relationship's opposite gendered, right? There's relationships that are polyamory, all living together, not living together, multiple parents raising kids. There's, you know, parents that are grandparents raising kids. There's, you know, moms together raising kids. There's gay couples with their female, you know, gay male couples with their female friend as a threesome raising couple, you know, kids. Families and relationships exist in diverse creative forms. They're all healthy. They're all beautiful. I wrote about it a lot in my first book, Sex Outside the Lines. Pick it up and read it. But yeah, Kaylee Cuoco, however you say her name, from Big Bang Theory. Yep, she's doing it too. Although they're building a house that they might then live together in. So it's a temporary thing. But supposedly she's been married for a year and they don't live together. So y'all got my support. Now it's time to talk about a hot mess. Now, the only reason why I'm even talking about this girl, I'm not a big fan of necessarily promoting some of these influencers who are building careers on just toxicity and bad behavior. But a lot of you are sliding into my DMs desperate to hear my thoughts about it. Her name's Trisha Paytas. No idea who she is. Apparently, she's on Big Brother or something. Basically, though, She's in the news. She's getting a lot of backlash because she was coming out self-identified as a trans gay man. yeah. Then that concept just kind of says it all. But she released a video where she was announcing that she identifies as a trans gay man. Everyone got a little confused. Now, the reason why is because she's traditionally known for really being rooted in a lot of clickbait, right? And this one potentially is, you know, some, you know, trans baiting, as they say. And then she had a follow up with a YouTube video apologizing. But let's hear a little clip of her original post.
I identify more as like a gay man because I like guys, but I also identify as a guy. The thing that kind of like stops it is I do love, which a lot of gay men do too, I do love like glam and voluptuousness. So in my head, I feel like I'm a transgender female to male, but also like a drag queen. That's kind of how I've like rationalized it in my head.
Okay, so look, I'm not a fan of policing how people identify. Everyone gets to choose how they identify and how they want to be referred. Again, if you want to be called a male, a female, if you want to be called an ice cream cone, I support it. I love it. Do you? I think it's important for people to be seen the way they want to be seen. And also, having said that, I also heard her just slinging around a lot of stereotypes, right? All gay men aren't glam. All drag queens aren't glam. You know, it sounds like she has a lot of work to do. But digging deeper, I came across an article of saying that she's been seeing a gender therapist for 6 months. So I'm going to leave her psychological work in the hands of the gender therapist and let them kind of figure it out. But a lot of the people's tweets were clarifying for me. You know, someone said, the fact that you were trolling for years and you've at one point even claimed to be a chicken nugget makes us believe that this is just a mockery. So this is someone who historically also claimed to be a chicken nugget. And then someone else tweeted saying, my male to female trans sibling saw your video and then looked at me with tears rolling down their face and asked me if people just think that there's some sort of joke. So that's the thing. I want just to swoop in and say, just be thoughtful with what you're putting out there content-wise, because there's people who have had struggles and are still in turmoil trying to find acceptance and visibility. And if you're doing it as a joke or for attention or clickbait, that's not okay, right? And there's some psychological issues deep within that. But I hope this girl finds peace with her identity at some point along the way and figures out who she wants to be. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about... the negative impact on your mental health of your job. That's right. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's on our Loveline IG page. Y'all know what to do. It's about your thoughts on friends that have problematic politics. It's going to say a lot about you as much as it says about them. Your answers. Just saying. Okay, and later we got Jared Hill from Drop the Subject coming on. We're going to be talking about the, I almost said Oprah, the Ellen and George Bush scandal. My brain's moving a few seconds behind my what I'm saying. Okay, so I want to talk about a story quickly. There's some important little gems to be dropped in this one. My heart goes out to this mom's loss, though. I want to kind of frame it that way. So a mom is suing. Wait for it. Bear with me. We're going to have to walk through this slowly. A mom is suing her son's 5 BDSM boyfriends after her son died from silicone genital injections. Some of you are all like, say what? I know. I'm breaking it down for you. So there's a world, and it's tied to the kinky world, kinky BDSM world, where they're doing silicone injections in their genitals. What that basically means is they shoot their scrotum full of silicone, not medically done at home. And it basically creates what you'd think it creates, almost, you know, grapefruit sized. And this gentleman, far larger, basketball sized scrotum. Some people also stick it into their penis. It basically bloats it full of silicone. Can it have some disaster effects? Yes, it killed this guy. So, starting by saying, I empathize with the mom's loss. I can't imagine losing a son. Now, what's interesting is the story. So let me walk y'all through the story. So his birth name, I don't know his birth name is actually. His birth name is Jack. So he changed his name to Tank. He was in a polyamorous master-slave relationship, and he was the 6th member. So basically, he had a polyamorous relationship, multiple people in a romantic relationship. It was master-slave based, which means there was a dominant master, and everyone else under him was his slave. And sometimes sex play can extend outside of sexuality, and it can be just a basic way that the relationship operates. So He was considered a submissive pup, which is a term that's used for some people that are in the slave component of the master-slave relationship. It's a hierarchy. So the guy at the top of the hierarchy, the master, his name was Dylan. So in order to be part of this group, because again, Dylan had five people under him in this polyamorous master-slave relationship, he had Jack change his name to Tank. He was in the relationship for 6 years, and part of what turned all these guys on, but especially the master, was changing and altering their body shapes, eating a lot to become as large and bulky as possible and muscular, also getting tattooed, and part of it was these silicone genital injections. It turned them on to just have these large, large scrotums and penises and bodies. Now, due to all that, he died. He also bulked up with steroids. A lot of things are unhealthy. So the mom is suing for, let me just get this correct. She's suing for wrongful death, negligence, and intentional infliction of emotional distress and civil conspiracy against the entire group. So I'm not going to necessarily weigh in on that because, you know, these are all consensual adults. They all chose to partake in this. It's quite possible they injected themselves. So I'm not sure how it can be seen as a wrongful death or this quote unquote master can be seen as responsible because these people consensually chose to be in this power-based relationship. They're all adults. They're all of sound mind and they engage to play in this kink play. So what I want to talk about is, well, how we engage in safe kink play. I'm sex positive as you could get. And I support creative, diverse forms of sexuality. Where I do draw the line is things that are non-consensual, things that are illegal, and also things that are really risky and can cause death. So that's where I draw the line, and that's where I kind of back out because I don't believe that eroticism and sex or arousal are worth death or risking death. And the kink community uses an acronym called RAC, and they really seek to have sex that's risk-aware. And that you try to avoid harm. And so my larger point is just be very thoughtful when you're engaging in sex play or different power dynamics and relationships. It shouldn't have to lead to anyone's death and it shouldn't make anyone sick or ill. And so this is a very unfortunate example of things gone awry. I'll track the court case because I don't really know how she can kind of blame other people. My heart goes out to anyone who passes, but you know, sex shouldn't take us out. Sex shouldn't have to be dangerous. I don't believe that that's sex or eroticism. I think it then actually steps outside into something else. So it's quite a story, though. A lot to learn in that one. All right, coming up next, we got some celebrity rehab with Nick Mora. We're going to be talking about cheating. Everyone loves to hear a good cheat story. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for some celebrity rehab. So, of course, we got Nick Mora with us, Loveline's pop culture guru. Nick, what's going on?
Dr. Chris, to me, this story just gives me the heebie-jeebies, and you and I need to discuss.
All right.
So Jana Kramer, we all know her. She is Mike Cawson's wife. She's gone out publicly saying that he has cheated on her. She found things in his phone. They're working on their marriage. They're trying to work it out, blah, blah, blah. They have a podcast together where they often talk about these things. So this week on the podcast, she reveals that she found a topless photo of another woman on his Apple Watch because he had deleted it on his phone.
Oh, see, because my question was going to be, now that we have that like facial technology that unlocks your phone and we can't memorize people's codes, I was like, we don't have to worry about these kinds of stories anymore. And then here it is, the Apple Watch.
All exactly. Right, and I'm telling you, when a woman wants to find something, she will find something. That's not, that's like women 101. Okay. Right, we're better than the FBI. But to me, one, I think she was fishing. Personally, I think that she was fishing. He says that he told, like, he didn't have any communication with her. She then texted the woman to confront her. But it just makes me wonder, is once a cheater, always a cheater, Dr. Chris? Is there hope for someone who has been a cheater before to kind of come back renewed and clean?
All right. So this is, you know, this topic's important because there's a lot of mythology kind of bumping around. But let me first just say this. Y'all, stop going through each other's phones. Like, seriously. If you're in a relationship with someone you can't trust, and we've talked about this before, leave. if you're with someone you can't trust, find someone you can, because it's going to terrorize you. And policing someone by trying to, you know, put boundaries around where they're at, who they're with, going through their phone, that doesn't help you build trust. So if you're with someone who you can't trust, it's time to go. But if you realize it's you and you have trust issues, maybe take a break from dating and really go into some personal therapy and work on learning how to trust. Because if your perspective is that everything in the world is a threat, you're not going to be healthy as a partner. Like, you're not going to be healthy to be brought into someone's life. So if you find yourself wanting to go through people's phones and that's your style, yeah, really go work on that, because you're going to be toxic for someone. I'm happy now that Apple phones have that facial recognition so people don't have access to their phones. You don't have a right to know everything your partner's doing. And in a healthy relationship, you let them do whatever they want. And what they choose to do with their freedom really tells you how much they care about you in the relationship, right? And I also always tell people, be approachable. Be healthy enough in a relationship where someone would come to you if they have a struggle, or if they would come to you if they need to renegotiate boundaries. They'll come to you and let you know they no longer want monogamy or whatever it is they need to talk about. Be the kind of person that has such an open, vulnerable, transparent relationship that they don't need to keep important things from you. And to people that are cheating, stop. If you want an open relationship, ask for it. If you no longer want to be in a relationship with your partner, leave. Whatever it is you're trying to solve with cheating, stop. It's really problematic and toxic. And it's creating this culture where we're seeing everything as a threat. We're running our monogamy in a really toxic way. And we're trying to police each other. And it's a mess. But once a cheater, always a cheater, no way. You know, people grow and change. I mean, that's the whole basis of therapy. And if people can't change, well, then, you know, what are we all doing? But people get better. You know, again, every relationship is a co-creation, and both partners have to take responsibility for what they're creating. Because again, cheating is a really messy solution to a problem, but each partner has a role in creating a relationship in which cheating is a solution. And so everyone has something to learn from a relationship that they've been cheated on or within, right? Is it the people you're choosing? Is it the style of relationship you're creating that's just not healthy and it can't allow someone to thrive? But again, unfortunately, look at the stats. The stats show that anywhere from 50 to 75% of relationships that are currently operating have someone cheating. So in some ways, cheating is a norm. It's a statistical norm. It's an expected stage of every relationship. It's actually abnormal if you're in a relationship where someone isn't. But again, a lot of that's born out of people being in relationships they don't want to be in. It's born out of people being in relationships where sexual compatibility is not there. It's born out of relationships where people are afraid or not willing to leave. It's born out of relationships where people just aren't willing to say, I need it to be open, I need more sex, or I'm not happy with how this relationship's being run, right? Cheating's a horrible solution, but both parties need to sit down and look at, what are we creating that's forcing us into this? But we're at a time now where it's really imperative, with technology and all these areas that allow gray areas and slippery slopes, that people just really sit down and say, do I want a relationship right now? Do I want a relationship with this person? Am I okay with monogamy? Do I need to ask for different relational styles and configurations? So do that difficult work. And also, again, be the kind of partner that your other can come to you and say, we need to talk about this. We need to renegotiate this. But again, policing, going through phones, it's not healthy. It's not going to work. It's actually emotionally abusive behavior. But for those that are cheating, stop. You're helping sustain a culture in which people are having this anxiety and feeling as though everything's a threat and they need to police things. But no, people do really powerful, beautiful work in my relationship. And cheating's not a reason to leave a relationship. It's a reason to really sit down and say, what needs to change? And I work with some couples that do that difficult work and they become more powerful and stronger because of it and through it. Not every relationship can survive that. Not everyone has the kind of history of trauma that they can work through that. But a lot of beautiful things can come from it. But again, in any problematic relationship, you have to realize, you have two options. We're either going to renew this and move forward, or I need to release it and move on. But no, once a cheater, not always a cheater. That's not necessarily a personality style that has to sustain itself in any way. But, again, we'll be talking more about this. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding in the DMs. Our question of the night, it's up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. So I've been casually dating someone for almost 2 years, and we get along great and the chemistry's there. However, I started to notice she has poor eating habits, pop Xanax like candy, and binge drinks on the regular. I'm concerned for her long-term health, but don't want to offend her by talking to her about it. She's very sensitive, and I can see her getting extremely defensive if I bring it up. What do you think is the best way to discuss it? I think a loving, caring partner definitely brings it up, so I support you in saying, like, hey, I think you're drinking and your pill use is problematic. I mean, the poor eating habits, that's her business. I would back off of that because that's not life-threatening. That's, you know, a kind of a little bit of a sidestep. But the popping Xanax like candy, look, that leads to a heavy physical dependence, which means she cannot just stop taking the Xanax cold if she's taking it like candy. That's something where she might require a medical detox and at least be tapering down. So we're talking about something that's really, truly a problem. And also the binge drinking, again, same thing. If she's drinking that consistently, she can't just stop. So yes, bring it to her. Let her know you're concerned about her. And also, I love the idea of setting a boundary. I'm not going to be around you when you're using these things because it's so destructive. And see kind of where that gets you. It's a tough one, though. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world. Why don't you explore the confidence? Coming up next, we're going to be with Jarrett Hill.
Loveline.
With Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what are your thoughts on friends with problematic politics? Now, we got Jarrett Hill from Drop the Subject with us. What's up, Jarrett?
Hey, what's up?
So it's kind of funny. I feel like really we often circle back to that topic because I know the first time you joined me, our conversation topic was around people's problematic politics. So it purely is coincidental. It
okay.
is coincidental.
Yeah, yeah.
I promise it's not that I only bring you on here to talk about that. but before we get into anything, I wanted to talk to you about the whole George Bush Ellen scandal, yeah. as I'm calling it. So for those that are kind of late to the game or live under a rock, I don't know, what was the sporting event? Oh, Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers. Ellen is sitting there next to good old George Bush. She's, I think, IG storying it. And basically, people are coming out saying, why would you, quote unquote, support or befriend someone with such problematic politics? La, 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 la. And then she issued, I wouldn't really call it an apology as much as a clarification.
A statement, saying, yeah.
No, we're all different. We got to understand the difference. So jump in with your thoughts about that, because I have a lot of really strong thoughts on this.
So I get annoyed with people in this situation. From what I understand, and I mean, mind you, I haven't like done a deep dive into the story, but from what I understand, they were sat next to each other. They weren't like there together.
Okay,
they
stop there for a second. That was my first thought too. Like, she, look, if I was
VIP
sitting,
booth,
yes, like, if I was sitting in a VIP booth next to Trump, who I think is a hot trash mess, and he was like, hey, how's your pretzels? I would probably be like, yeah, they're really good. Like, I would talk to a human being near me. I know. Okay, bad example.
I don't know if it
bad
was
example.
Trump.
bad example.
Yeah,
bad
yeah.
example. If George Bush, let's just use him. If,
I would chat with George
yeah,
W. Bush.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, I wouldn't invite him to my home. I wouldn't make him my buddy. But, like, I wouldn't be rude. I'd be like, yeah, dude, what's
say,
up?
I will say, when George W. Bush was president, my God, he was god-awful, right? But, like, nowadays we long for him. You know what I mean? Like, he would...
Isn't that interesting, though? How,
it
like,
really
we look
is.
Back, we're like, we'll take you again.
What a difference a decade makes, right?
That's right.
So, like, I mean, but I think of George W. Bush now in the context of always sitting next to Michelle Obama at state events.
And they're holding hands.
Exactly. And they're good friends. Yes, and yes. like, you know, they're passing candy to each other. Like, I think of them that way. Like, George W. Bush literally can never be president again. That's you know right. what I mean? So I'm not really worried about what his politics are. And I know that he's also kind of evolved on some things. So the idea that Ellen is sitting next to him, like, I don't care. Like, it would be off brand for her to be like, how dare you sit next? You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's not who she is.
But what I do find issue with is what her response was, because her response was people are different, and that frustrates me when we try to conflate difference, which is kind of like what color shirts you wear or what you like on your pizza, with problematic people in politics. That to me is a huge distinction.
I get that. I guess for me, like, I think there's a division in our country right now that is like, if you're a Republican, you're the enemy, right? And I mean, for a lot of Republicans, sure, maybe. But I think that all Republicans, especially like legacy Republicans that are like what Bill Maher would call Republican classic, there's an idea that those kinds of Republicans are not the Trump Republican.
Like
right?
the Anna Navarros.
Like the Anna Navarros, the Nicole Wallaces. I mean, I don't know that George W. Bush is a Nicole Wallace who's, like, you know, left the party. But I mean, I always remember, my favorite thing about George W. Bush recently was he was quoted after leaving the Trump inauguration as saying, that was some weird S word. And you know what I mean? Like, and like in his country twang, and like the idea that he even recognizes, like,
he himself knew.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is some weird S word. I don't know what's happening here. I don't care about her sitting next to George W. Bush.
I'm okay with this having been sat next to and not being rude, but I do always problematize when people try to make someone's gross politics, behavior, et cetera, as just like, it's just a difference. It's like, well, no, there's a distinction for me powerfully in that piece.
Yeah. I don't think George W. Bush supports a lot of the things that Donald Trump is doing. I can't see him putting kids in cages. I can't see him with the Muslim bans. I can't see him, you know, even doing some of the LGBTQ, anti-LGBTQ things that
as you're listening at all, I still am shaking my head like, yep, this is our current president.
This is our president.
We have some audio, though. Let's hear what Ellen had to say.
Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone.
Okay, but see, here's again where, like, I think we have to make distinctions. I'm going to give this personal example. So, like, I think it was like a month ago, I went on a date, and who am I dating that I keep having these examples? But they made essentially an anti-Jewish comment. I am Jewish, it turns out, but it shouldn't matter. And I said to them, oh, wow, that, okay, what? And they were like, oh, I just have dark humor. And I was like, it's not dark humor. What you said was racist, right? And then a couple minutes later, another problematic thing was said. And I think it would have been foul if I just thought, oh, well, we're just different. It's like, no, we're not different. Again, different is I'm vegan and you're not. This is you actually see the world in a perspective where you're okay reinforcing problematic stereotypes and concepts. And that I don't want to be around because I don't want that normalized. It hurts me to hear it. I work in my office 30 hours a week helping people that are oppressed because of their body size, their race, the way their brain functions, whatever, is trying to feel desirable and normal in the world. Yeah. No, that's not different. That's violence and oppression.
Well, so I wholly agree with you there. But I think the distinction is, like, this is her saying, like, I can be friends with and sit next to this person.
Correct.
As opposed to, like, I'm dating this person, right? Those are
I'm supporting in some way, right?
Exactly.
Or perpetuating.
Exactly.
And I agree. The sitting next to, and like you said, I've sat next to at events some really horrible people.
Exactly.
And if they're like, can I have a pretzel bite? I'm like, sure, maybe.
Well, that, and also Ellen says, you know, be kind to one another. She's not saying, like, go screw each other and go be married and whatever. Like, I mean, I remember a long time ago, Star Jones saying on The View, like, never allow someone else's behavior to make you step outside your character.
I heard her say that too, and that's powerful for me as well.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, wow. And I tweeted over the weekend, like, when people say, oh, I match energy with people, I reciprocate what they give me, like, that gives away so much power.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think if you dislike what someone else has done or said or whatever, you can take the opportunity to say that to them, or you can take the opportunity to, you know, at least befriend them, get to know them.
How about you giving a throwback to Star Jones? All right.
Where's she been?
All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the difference between sexual compatibility and chemistry. It's a really important one. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Love Line IG page. What are your thoughts on friends with problematic politics? Ooh. Right now, we got Jarrett Hill with us from Drop the Subject. You got something going on tomorrow night. Tell us about it.
Yes, we have a special that's going to be on right after Loveline tomorrow night. HRC and CNN have a candidates forum where various different candidates that are running for president are going to be able to talk and answer questions that are, you know, really specific to LGBTQ community. So tomorrow, immediately following that, and immediately following Loveline, we will be on for an hour doing kind of a breakdown of what we heard, what we saw, and what we think it is going to do for the election. So we're excited about that.
So important, though. I'm glad that that's finally happening. This is the first time that that's happening, and it's mind-boggling that it took this long, but, like, I'm glad that we're doing that.
Yeah, we're really excited about the presidential election, and ideally we'll be doing some more of these as the more debates come up.
And who right now for you is your favorite? Who's a front runner in your mind for
it's
yourself?
Difficult. I really want to love Kamala.
Okay.
And I do like her a lot, but I think Elizabeth Warren has really been knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
I am completely burned out on Bernie Sanders, and I think that Joe Biden continues to show us all the cracks in the foundation.
Well said. I mean, you just kind of spoke for me. I'm with you on all that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Kamala, I was a fan of hers, but then some of her stuff with the prison industrial complex and the truancy and all that kind of threw me off. I wanted a woman of color in office. Warren, Yeah, I'm into Bernie. It's funny. I was such a big Bernie fan, but I'm with you on the burnout on. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. So compatibility versus chemistry. This is fascinating for me because I wrote an article about this. It was something that I see all the time in my office and also in my own life where people confuse the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to break down the distinction. And the quick distinction, then we can kind of unpack it further, is, you know, people come into my office and they'll say, you know, I'm dating someone and we're compatible. And what they're talking about is chemistry. And chemistry is that initial attraction or desire. It's more testosterone. It's lust-based. Nothing wrong with that. It's important. That's what gets us to see them again and reach out to them and whatnot. But compatibility is something that I kind of sit back and wait for, and it takes time. Because compatibility is more about when our two personalities come together, what do we create?
We
are most shown compatibility when conflict first arises. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can really learn, what are we as a couple made of? And is this something I want long term? Where chemistry is that initial fire that isn't that reliable. Because if you don't have compatibility, you're setting yourself up for a relationship with a lot of conflict. If you don't have chemistry, you're setting yourself up for a relationship with not a lot of sexuality or fire.
That's really good. I could just sit here with that for a few minutes.
Well, because I was, you know, it was, look, we can't see ourselves, and that's why therapists themselves need therapy, and they also have friends that reflect things back. And I had been going on some dates with someone, and I kept saying, like, it's just magic. It's magic. We're so compatible. Myself bastardizing some of these terms that I can clearly work through with clients.
Yeah.
And another psychologist friend of mine said, careful, because it sounds like you're talking about chemistry, not compatibility. And I was like, you're right. I'm literally under the spell of chemistry, making long-term plans, and we haven't even really encountered each other and the conflict to really see what we're made of.
I will say I've been in plenty of relationships where I feel like there has been a lot of chemistry without compatibility. I feel like I've been in that relationship multiple times. And I also feel like I've realized that after the fact, when I realized, like, I probably wouldn't have really been friends with this person.
And there it is. And you nailed it. Compatibility is the, I would be your friend. And if it doesn't work out, I'd still want to be your friend because we're compatible. But it's interesting, the power of chemistry, where there was a study done and it was looking at some of those dating websites where you fill out those long profiles and they match you based on percentages. We'll be like, you are a 92% match. And it showed, no matter how little of a match you are, you could be a 0% match. If you think they're hot, you'll ignore it and you're all in because chemistry is that
interesting.
Powerful.
Interesting.
Yes.
I remember you're talking about this. My journalist side kicked in. I remember being on Match.com a number of years ago, and they had all these different things that people fill out, and one of them was ethnicity or race.
Okay.
And I was fascinated by the fact that people would oftentimes choose every different race that was possible, including other, but not choose black.
Wow, left that one unlocked.
They would choose white, they would choose Latino, they would choose, and they would choose, like, there were like maybe 9 different options. They would choose every one of them, other included, but not choose black. And I remember thinking, like, what is that about? And so, again, my crazy journalist brain, I went through like 100 different profiles, and I found that South Asian and black were the least selected.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, like, how can I be compatible with if you can't even... How can I be compatible or have chemistry with you if you can't even check the black box?
And that's for men, where Asian women are the most sought out, but Asian men are the least sought out.
Exactly. And black women.
Black women are the least sought out. And apparently in some of them, black men as well.
Are the least sought out? Yeah.
Well, that's what you're telling me.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, when I was looking through the data that I compiled of those 100 profiles, I was just like, wow, this is crazy.
I mean, look, not on my dating profiles. I'm like, check, 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 check. I'm like, yo, I'm here for everybody.
Well, like, chemistry versus compatibility is so interesting. When I'm looking at a guy on Tinder, I will look and see, like, are there any black people in any of your posts? Are there, like, do you have any people of color in your posts? Like, that kind of thing is always something that I pay attention to, because I feel like I have no interest in being the black guy in your
the
life.
The token.
Yeah. I don't want to be the black person who is with all of your white or whatever friends and, like, have to explain stuff and, like, have to stomach the bad joke or have to correct the person and then make the room awkward. You know what I mean? And those things are really important to me.
I appreciate that. You know, for you, it's personal. For me, it's more the political, where if I look at someone's photos and they're all white, I think somewhat similarly where I'm like, they're probably going to say problematic things. It's going to be hard for my own ethics. I also take into account if all of their friends are gym bodied, that's also not going to work for me, because that means that that's what they eroticize, and how they're going to feel about me, whose work is about pushing back on gym culture. I don't want to be hearing about their carb-free diets.
Exactly. And the protein shake. That's a friend of mine used to always joke about, like, oh God, if I have one more conversation about the protein shake, I'm going to lose my mind.
But that's why there's more dating apps that are coming out that are not gay, but they're more like queer, social justice, feminist, political, for people that do think in those terms, and they want to find people that are exclusively seeking people that live in a more political, social justice, ethical way. But the problem with those apps is the amount of people that are on them is so small,
so
that it's like your five local friends.
We had some guests on our show that did a short film, and it was about a threesome that went awry, and the two filmmakers were both in, like, and one of them was dating a couple. The other, I think, was in a throuple of some sort. Okay. And I was, like, so fascinated by it. And they said, oh, I found them on this app. And I can't remember what the app is called
Field.
Now. Field, yes.
Yes.
And so they were like, oh.
You know, boo. You know I've been on there.
Right. And so I was like, let me get on Field. Like, let me check it out. And then it was interesting because, like, there are no black people on Field. I felt like I saw, like, two or three black people. And I was like, interesting. And, like, I don't have to date a black person, but I also recognize when I don't see other people that look like me.
Of course.
You know? I dated a white guy who was like, why do you always notice that there's one black person in here? I was like, if you walked in this room and you were the only white person in here, you would know that.
That's right.
And he was, oh, I didn't think about that. I was like, yep. That's what
whiteness does.
Exactly.
That's
we talked about that on the show.
Next time you're on, we'll have to talk about thruples, because I was just in one at the start of this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
We can talk about this. This gets more interesting every week.
That's right. All right. Jared Hill from Drop the Subject. People can find you every day from, what are the hours now? Your show?
Yes. We're on from 10 to 2 every day. And then tomorrow night, we'll be on from 9 to 10 Pacific time, midnight to 1 o'clock tomorrow Eastern.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, question of the night. So weigh in on that. It's on our Loveline IG page. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. We're back. Question of the night. What are your thoughts on friends with problematic politics?
Question of the night.
Sorry. Ooh, we got some shade getting thrown at me from producer Jeffrey over there. All right. She's getting worked up. Cool your jets, boo-boo. Cool your jets. Okay. So this question is inspired by the Ellen DeGeneres George Bush scandal. I want to know what you guys think about problematic people. So this is it right here. Bam, bam, bam. Okay. Y'all weren't so into this question. It's always interesting to see which ones trigger people and get them going, and which ones people are like, hey, I'm asleep on this one. Someone said, I've lost friendships over politics, especially over the Trump election. Really powerful one. I'm telling you, the Trump situation has been the great divider. Understandably so, though. Understandably so. Someone said, friendship over. We are not compatible. Bam. Friends with problematic politics. Friendship's over. I can't tell you how many first dates have ended because I was like, I just cannot even sit through this dinner hearing the stuff that's falling out of your mouth about your thoughts on gender and race and classism. I just can't. You know, it's really hard. If your work is literally embedded in healing, like mine is, and liberation, and you just can't. People that are oppressors, it just can't work. It can't work. Someone said they need friends like me to help them see the light. And that's kind of the distinction, right? So some people are willing to do the emotional labor of educating people. And also it's also a matter of how open is this other person to being educated, right? Because there are some people that they're digging their heels into their position and it's just going to be an ongoing battle. Other people, they're open to learning, and you got to kind of know which one it is. And look, I'm personally burnt out on doing the labor. It's what I do for my entire job. I do it on the radio. I do it in my office. I do it in my books. I ain't do it on a date. I got to find someone who's already kind of where I'm at least close. It's exhausting. Me personally, it's kind of like I say about sex too. If you need to be in my office getting sex therapy, I can't date you. I can't date someone who needs to be a client in my practice. You know what I mean? But that's how everyone kind of is around things that are aligned with their work. All right. So your thoughts on friends with problematic politics. Someone said, I changed my intimacy level with friends that support Trump. I get it. You have to. And someone said, in these times, it's not about politics. It's about humanity. Nailing it. That's exactly what it is. It's about humanity. It's not politics. It's not difference of opinion. It's about violence, oppression, and humanity. And right now we have the Supreme Court deciding whether or not it's legal to fire people for being gay or trans. That's not a difference of opinion. They're deciding the humanity. Actually, the people deciding are showing us their humanity based on how they treat minority people's humanity. right? So that's what we're learning about theirs. Oof, don't let us down. Someone else said, try to make them aware, but when it turns to arguing, it's painful and uncomfortable. Again, if you're willing to do the labor, try to make them aware. But some people are like, I will not defend my humanity. People that are of color, people that are trans, they're burnt out on defending themselves, right? And that's why as allies, white people have to do the work of educating people that are white on racism. Cisgendered people have to do the work. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be on the shoulders of people of color, or trans people or women to say, respect us. It's on our shoulders. Someone else said, ELE, I don't know what that means. Everybody love everybody. Oh, there it is. ELE, everybody love everybody. We're all different, but can still get along. I can't get along with you if you're thinking that certain people don't have rights. I can't. It's not difference to me. It's violence. Someone else said, yikes, don't know how close of friends we'll really be able to be. More like acquaintances. Agreed. Agreed. And finally, someone here, what's his name? Yefrito? Nah, he had a way on this one. He said, honestly, their politics ain't radical. We most likely ain't kicking it. Hashtag no cap. I mean, look, I'm with you on that. I'm a radical. My politics are quite radical. Actually, what's funny is I think it's quite radical. People that have conservative politics, to me, that's quite radical. Trying to reject someone's humanity. That's what's radical. But nonetheless, you know, politics, mine are about liberation. So, you know, there it is. All right, y'all. Thanks for those that participated. Coming up next, we're going to slide into some DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. It's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, my partner and I have been together for about 5 months. He loves me and I love him, but since day one, he would say things like, you're fat and that I'm old. He knows he is making me mad by doing this, so why is he doing it? I always tell him if I'm not your type, then leave. He knows I have a low self-esteem and I get easily triggered. What's your advice? Let me first make a broad statement. You know, people that are smaller bodied or younger, sometimes y'all think it's funny to call those things out and you think it might be cute, but it's not. And for people that are younger, you don't know what it's like to be older in our ageist culture. For people that are gym bodied or smaller bodied, you don't know what it's like to be fat in our body phobic culture where television, magazines, conversations, songs, everything is telling you that you're not desirable. And you see pictures of people trying to not ever look like you. It's not funny. It's not funny to really pick out things that make people feel bad. So if you're in a relationship with someone and you're supposed to be caring and loving, say positive things, reinforce the things about them that are meaningful that you do like. So why is he doing it? I'm hoping it's because he thinks it's funny and that he just has a little bit of an insensitive humor and not that he secretly, you know, is not in love with you or doesn't care about you and is trying to harm you. I want to believe something better than that. So basically set the boundary though. I don't think it's funny when you talk about my weight or my age. It makes me feel bad and undesirable. And if you continue to do it, then this relationship has to be treated as toxic and I can't be in it with you. Because again, healthy relationships don't negatively impact our mental health. So remind him of that. Honey, it doesn't feel good. It's not funny. And if he can't respond well to that, well, then that's a big red flag, right? And I want to believe that he does care about you and that he'll hear that note. And to those that are listening, don't make body jokes. Don't make age jokes. People that you're dating, make them feel good. That stuff isn't funny. And we tend to kind of glamorize it. Like you're being sassy, you're being punchy. Nah, if it makes someone feel bad, hear them say that and just stop. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. All right, that's our show. As always, our show is podcasted on wearechannelq.com. So go there. You can hear all the past episodes and also re-listen to the ones. We'll be back tomorrow night. We're going to be having on a buddy of mine, Dr. David Lay. He's the author of the book, The Myth of Sex Addiction. Really smart guy, really funny guy. We're going to be talking about a recent article around the decline of sex and a whole bunch of other stuff. Thanks for hanging out with me. And as always, have an awesome, awesome night. See you tomorrow.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.